and welcome back to Building Bridges, a 60-minute show that Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper and I record each week from our homes. Right? I mean, how amazing is that? The KCIW studio is only open on a very limited basis during COVID, especially as our numbers in Curry County climb. But we've managed to figure out how to do our shows from home, which is, like, amazing. Yeah. I don't actually have to, right?
Yeah,
isn't that amazing, Jake?
Yeah, whatever. It's worked out.
I mean, it's like, wow, yeah. And we use our computers, and it's been a learning experience for sure, because I had no idea that you could even do this. But they've made, you know, that's the thing about COVID, is that there's been so many technological advances made, because there had to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we weren't going to be able to function if everything was closed down and we had no ability to have meetings or,
right,
you know, any of that stuff.
Right.
Life would just come to a screeching halt. So
yeah.
naturally, the technical people are out there going, oh, okay, we can fix this and we'll get this. And
right.
I wish I had bought stock in Zoom. That's all I can say. But, you know, for those of us who are not very technically gifted, and that would be me, the learning curve has been interesting, because it seems to me that there's at least one technical glitch. Right, Jake?
Oh, yeah.
Every time we do something, there's at least one.
Yeah, I mean, that's now, a good night.
Exactly. Yeah, like last time we were on, I had this huge coughing fit.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was,
yeah.
Once again, I was trying to breathe and drink at the same time. Now, for those of you who are listening to this, I advise against trying to do that. There's something about having your trachea and your esophagus open at the same time that just doesn't work out. It's like the water goes into your lungs and you're starting to drown, and, you know, it's not a pretty sight.
It doesn't,
right?
Sound, yeah, that doesn't sound fun.
No.
It sounds like being waterboarded.
Right, which I never want.
No.
I never want to have that. No, that's not an experience I want. So we actually had to stop, and I had to cough it out for a while and stuff, and then we started again. But I would bet that our listening audience had no idea that happened, because our amazing technical guy just edits things beautifully, so you never know what is going on. Of course, we are saving it for the blooper reel. So, because we need that, right? And just to let you all know, if Jake sounds a little stuffy tonight, he's got himself a cold.
A little bit. Yep, a little bit.
Yep. Yep, you're definitely, your sinuses are stuffed up. It's always nice.
It'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be fine. Yeah, if you have to cough for any duration, just hold your hand up. We'll know that you're, you know, going to be indisposed for the next 20 seconds or so. So, how are you doing this week, Jake?
I'm doing all right. It's nice week, nice weather.
How about the weather?
Yeah, I know. And actually, this will show you kind of how spoiled maybe I am. There was a point today where it was like warm enough, and I was up kind of high, and I was like starting to sweat a little bit, and I'm like, oh man, this is getting too hot. You know, where's the fog?
Right?
Where's the fog? Boy, just a few clouds would be like real cool right now. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, we are so particular, aren't we?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. But
I know. I went out this morning. It wasn't really that early in the morning, because I don't get up that early. But there was a wind blowing, and it was a little cool. And I thought, you know, not quite perfect.
Mm-hmm.
I need couple more degrees of warmth, please, you know. And sure enough, it showed up. You know, this afternoon was warm.
Yeah,
it was
warm.
Definitely warm.
Yeah.
In fact, I looked at the thermostat in my house, because I'm thinking it's a little warm in here. I may have to turn on some ceiling fans. And it's saying like 75 degrees
yeah,
in here.
I know. That's like, crazy.
I know. That hasn't happened since, I'm thinking, October. you know, it was like maybe November was the last time it got. Oh, but I'll take it.
Oh, yeah. It's nice. It's nice. And it's, I love having nice evenings, you know, and this time of year that between like 6 and 8 o'clock, it's just such a, it's a great time to be outside.
So you said the other night in your chat that you were going to go for a little hike after you were done. You said you were going to go to, I don't remember where you said you're going to, Cape Farillo?
Cape Farillo. Yeah, it's just my go-to kind of walk. You know, it's really just a walk.
It's beautiful, though.
Oh, yeah,
so
it is.
So beautiful.
It is. And, I, you know, it's it's fairly quick. I've done it, I think, 3 times this week.
Wow.
Yeah, so I went Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Yeah. Titus went with me last night.
That's great.
Really pretty. Nice weather. Good time of the year.
And kind of a little update on the butterfly situation because it's been a while. So all of my butterflies have eclosed and turned into butterflies, and I think I had a total of, I'm going to say about 12 that actually made it through the whole process. And they've all been released at this point, tagged and released. And I was so surprised because, I think I released the last one like 2 weeks ago. Hmm. I went out in my yard, at the end of last week, and there were 2 of them in my yard. So, they hadn't actually gone anywhere. They'd gone around somewhere, but and they were mine because I could see the tags. So it's like, boy, what are you guys doing? I mean, you shouldn't be here now anyway, right? It's way too early for you to be here, but you're here. So are you just hanging out or are you on your way somewhere? I mean, it's just so much that we don't know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So if anybody out there sees monarch butterflies flying in your yard, just take a look and see if they've got a tag on the on one of their wings. It'll be a little white circle, and you should be able to see the number if they sit still long enough, and just jot it down and let me know. Because it might be one of mine. I don't know. Might be mine. So I thought that maybe we'd talk about growth this week, Jake.
Sure.
You had said, I remember you saying during one of your chats that when you first came to town and you were first settling in and stuff, that you were pretty pro-growth. Mm-hmm. You know, you wanted to see the town grow and all that kind of stuff. But that over the years, your perspective has shifted somewhat.
Oh, yeah.
As you live here, right?
Yeah, refined.
Yeah.
Yeah, perspective is refined. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So what is it about that? Is it, you know, that you just don't want it to change because, you know?
Well, so growth, I mean, growth can be... I guess when I think of the parts of growth that I kind of lament, you know, that drive me to change that perspective is the tourism sector, you know, of the growth. I'm still pretty pro growth as far as actual development of land and building homes. But you know, I would imagine I just lived here long enough that, yeah, I appreciate it and can already see kind of how it's changing. And that's, you know, kind of bittersweet, right? Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine what people, you know, that have like lived here their whole lives, what they've thought. But
I know when you look at some of the old photos that were done, you know, 100 years ago or something, you know, it's like, it's a whole different world.
Right.
Completely different world. And there's something about a town that has dirt streets.
Oh, right. Right.
You know, there's just something about it. It's it certainly is not great in terms of amenities, but there's just something about it. You know, it's
Yeah.
It's those old days when you could just walk. Well, I guess you had to just about walk everywhere,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
I mean, there weren't a lot of choices.
Yeah.
Not many cars. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really, really like Brookings, and I like the way that it is, like right now,
mm-hmm.
you know, and there's, mm-hmm. there's really no buts. There's not too many buts after that statement.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that it's because I just don't like to share. It doesn't play into my decision making or policy, you know, policy setting, goals with the city at all, really, but just on a personal level. It's just,
yeah, like when you're on a trail,
yeah,
and you're hiking out, you don't, you know, you would prefer that there were not 20 other people,
right?
Right,
right,
there with you,
right?
Yeah.
River Bar Camping is a big one, and the Oregon Coastal Trail. That, you know, River Bar Camping, there's just more and more locals, and that's kind of been discovered by tourists. You know, you see tourists up there, so. That's a huge difference that I've seen in 20 years, where when I first came here, you could easily go camping like Friday night and go find a cool spot on the river, right, to camp. There's no way now. There's no way.
Really?
Oh yeah. And
really?
Yep. Unless you have some kind of private access. And you're, you know, you're sharing the river bar with, you know, on the smaller bars, they can only fit 30 or 40 fifth wheels and campers.
30 or 40
oh, yeah.
fifth wheels?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. If you go to, you know, Miller Bar in the summertime, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be a lot of folks down there. A lot of folks. You know, it used to not be like that.
See, I haven't been... Yeah, no, because I haven't been in a while,
yeah.
you know, probably close to 10 years since yeah. I've been on the bars, and they weren't crowded at all.
No. And a lot of it's local people. I think maybe some of it's just kind of a culture change. I don't know if mm-hmm. there's more people camping
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It's still great that we have that, and that I have a nice camping spot only 25 minutes away from my house. You know, I'm
yep.
fortunate. But it's just that classic good old day, you know, the good old days thing, right?
The good old
yeah,
days.
Yeah, the good
yes.
old days, you know?
Yeah, you remember the good old days when...
Yeah, yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah.
Or the pre... But it's
such...
Now it's like the pre-Chetco bar fire days.
Yeah.
You know, you look back yeah, and go, yeah. oh, man, before the fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have not been on the river since Chetco bar fire at all. The damage is pretty close down to the river. I mean, you can, that's what you're running into.
There's areas, and it doesn't go all the way like actually down to the river bank, but mm-hmm. off the road when you drive up the North Bank Road, mm-hmm. you see areas that were just really, really burned, and then you drive, and then it's, you know, not really touched, and then you hit another patch, and mm-hmm. If you go up any further in the Rogue Siskiyou National Forest, or the, you know, that's pretty well toasted up there. And there's acres and acres that look like just kind of standing matchsticks.
Have you noticed any silt problems in the river?
No. You know, at the city, we were wondering, and not mm-hmm. really, no one really could say exactly, you know, what would happen and what will happen. But no, to the best of my knowledge, we haven't seen any, you know, serious side effect from it.
Because that would impact our water supply, yeah. wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's what we were,
yeah.
you know, that's why it's on the
worried
city's
about.
Radar, yeah.
Right, right. And so the salmon seemed to be doing okay, because that was the other consideration.
Oh, boy.
On my thinking,
yeah.
anyway, was, you know,
I know
did we just lose all the habitat for the salmon, you know?
Mm.
Like, how bad?
I don't think that's
bad did it get?
I don't think that's our problem with the salmon when you start taking gravel back out of the river. Yeah, I don't know if it affected. I know this year was kind of a poor fishing year. I don't know if Fish and Game would attribute that to the Checo Bar or not, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of different factors that that always come into that kind of stuff. And the salmon population, it's so interesting because I've talked to Rich Heap and actually done a few interviews with him about this. And it's so fascinating because salmon like to go back to where they came from. So, you know, they were born in this particular mm-hmm. river, in this particular side of the river, and that's where they want to go back to. But when they go out to the ocean and they're out in the ocean for like 2 or 3 years before they come back in, they can go anywhere, and they often do.
Yeah.
You know, they'll go miles up the coast or miles down the coast, and it's like, wow, how do they know where to go, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got your butterfly in your yard. And you're like,
exactly.
And then you're like, yo, man, come on, what's going on?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. The stuff that we don't know, you know, I'm constantly kind of tripping over that. I guess as I get older, the things that I don't know are like really coming to the fore. Like, I don't know anything about that, and I don't know anything about that, and how is that working? And it's also changing because, you know, we've got climate change going on and the world is changing. And I mean, it's just fascinating to me. It's just fascinating. So growth in terms of Brookings, I think I got here at the end of 2004 and it was definitely smaller. Mm-hmm. You know, I think when I moved here, there was like 5,000 people as opposed to 6,000. We're right around 6,000 now, I think.
So like
maybe 6,500.
Yeah, we're 65.
65.
Yeah,
oh, well, then we've definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, then we've definitely added some folks. And I notice it in the traffic. You know, it's not bad during the winter, but as we start to get into spring and summer and stuff, of course, we have visitors.
Mm-hmm.
But we have people who are here looking to live here as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because why wouldn't you?
Right. Right.
this is great. So in terms of growing, is there a plan? Does the city have what one might call a plan?
Yeah. Yeah. So planning is at least in the state of Oregon, I'm sure other places too, but in the state of Oregon, planning is very much regulated by the state. And so
I did not know that.
Oh,
I'm very surprised. Oh. I had no idea.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, land use regs in the state of Oregon is really something. So any plan that we do, any large scale anything that we do needs to conform to, you know, statewide planning goals. The urban growth boundary of Brookings is a state ordained thing, which would be really tough to change. I mean, it's a I don't remember the technical verbiage of it because I wasn't here when it last time it happened. But so as far as real big picture, and as far as the state's concerned, future growth of the city of Brookings would look like basically just the filling of that urban growth boundary and the city limits continuing to expand. Now,
so okay, just a second. So the urban growth boundary is like, is that set in concrete, kind of?
Yeah,
kind of. So it doesn't change.
Yeah, it doesn't.
It doesn't change?
It's tough.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
Wow.
To change.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep, urban growth boundary. So ours goes, obviously it's all Brookings and goes north up, you know, to like the end of the Borax property, goes south through most of what, you know, what we know to be Harbor. And up, you know, east a bit, So it's laid out now, at least from the state's perspective. That's the boundary that the city of Brookings will continue to grow and expand their limits. That aspect of it can be pretty controlled locally. You know, I mean, for example, just that statement of urban growth boundary and that being like where the city would expand. Well, there's a whole bunch of harborites that would never go for anything like that.
I know. I'm thinking that while you're talking about harbor, and it's like, what?
Yeah. So, and then beyond that, like plans, obviously everything that is, you know, halfway kind of old and has been around for a while wasn't part of a real, you know, stringent plan. But Harbor Hills, Borax, the Dawson Track area, those were all, you know, maybe different sizes of plans, but all built to a some sort of master plan.
So if all of Harbor is part of the urban growth boundary, but Brookings can't really do anything about that, right? Because Brookings has no jurisdiction over anything past the bridge, right? I mean, so there's not really...
Well, when you say, like, can't do anything about that, the idea of the urban growth boundary, it's not to, you know, to try to like reach the edges of it as fast as you can. I mean, I suppose.
Oh, come on.
Well, I suppose that's, you know, depending on who you would ask. But I've never, since I've been on the city council, regardless of fears of folks that live outside the city, I've never been a part of a city council that was like in to gobble up, you know, other ground.
Right.
Because you're right, we can't, there's no unilateral action that the city of Brookings can take to grow its own boundaries. People have to ask to join Brookings. That's the whole deal. So, I mean, it could be 50 years before Brookings goes across the river. It could be never, you know, who knows?
Right.
I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. The people who live in Harbor would have to see it as a positive step to become part of Brookings. And, you know, there are some reasons why they would not want to become part of Brookings.
Well, they would, you know...
I mean, taxes for one.
Right. And it's definitely... It's not just Harbor. I mean, Harbor is a big step, you know, to make across the river. But over the, you know, I would imagine it never really... I mean, since the inception of Brookings, there's always been, you know, different parcels of land around the city limits that have gone through the annexation process. And, you know, city limits has grown quite a bit in the last 30 years, especially with the Borax annexation.
Okay, you just had some stuff go on Park, didn't you? Wasn't there some annexation on Park, that road that goes up to the airport?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's, I'm trying to remember how big that was.
It's only a few places, but...
Yeah. Well, and that might, I'm trying to remember if that was the one, I don't know if this was the same one, but another one up here, Park and Parkview, there were like 8 or 10 different residences, you know, that kind of just did it all together. Because it's cheaper if you do it that way.
Park View, not Park.
Well, there
is no park.
No, there is.
Is there a park?
Yeah, there's a park. Is. Park Lane up here.
Okay.
Yeah, and we're Park View.
Okay.
And then, you know, so is as far as like what the how the city is developed and what it looks like. You know, obviously we have zoning. You know, a great big zoning map of the entire city and put certain things in certain spots. Transport.
And that's like where commercial stuff is and industrial and residential, that the kind of the big categories.
Yeah, the big categories, residential area, mixed use, industrial. Yeah. Let's see. And then...
And is that, let me just
go ahead.
Is how did that come about? Like, was that the action of previous city councils where they would say,
Oh,
let's put this here and that?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And so now to get a zone change now, is not like a crazy huge deal, but that's a process. And the city is the one that does that. But it needs to follow statewide planning goals. And statewide planning goals, not that the state like has planning police here watching us, but
I haven't seen any anyway, but you never know.
But I can tell you there's out of 6,500 people, all it takes is one. And there's always, we have a lot of folks around here that care a lot about the area and the environment and how development takes place and everything. We always have folks watching to make sure that we follow statewide planning goals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's also, the issue that before the white settlers came into this area, the indigenous tribes were here. And I think that some of the places around here are spots that were for them really important spots and probably have some archaeological significance, So that's a whole other kind of thing that you'd want to be careful that you weren't, messing up an archaeological site, right?
And so when you have a development that's large enough or in an area that, that the tribes pick up on, I can remember during some of the Borax stuff, representation from a tribe. I'm drawing a blank on the, if it was Talua. Yeah, it must have been, right? It must have been Talua. Remarking and wanting to make sure that precautions were taken and because it there could be archaeological value, of that area.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And I would think, possibly burial grounds. I mean, there's all that. There's all of that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, there's a long history before we got here. Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I was down at Lone Ranch once a few years ago, and somebody said to me, see these hills here? Those are midden piles. That's where they put their trash. Basically, that's what forms those hills.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that.
If you go digging, Yeah, I know. I think there's just so much we don't know. I mean, when our ancestors came and decided this was a great place to live, there was no concept of kind of taking care and being sure to preserve any previous, people who lived here and, their artifacts and stuff. I mean, there just wasn't that thought. So, it's fascinating to me what could be out there,
Right.
It's like, it's very interesting. So state rules are in place. Urban growth boundaries are pretty much in cement.
Yep.
The city limit expands by people saying we want to be part of it.
Yeah.
And doing that. What do you think in terms of just vacant land to build on? I mean, it occurs to me that we have the ocean on one side and mountains on the other. So there really seems to not be a lot of land to build on.
Yeah. I mean, that's, we're definitely not going to see any sort of like serious urban sprawl because we're tucked in, right? And we can stretch out and that's what we'll do. And growth, I mean, you can see city limits, how it has stretched. So most of the, right now, the vast majority of undeveloped land inside of the city limits is the Lone Ranch Borax property. You know, and there's other...
Which is owned by Borax.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So, you know, unless and until they decide that they want to do something, it's just going to sit there.
No, it's for sale. Right. It's been for sale for a while. So, I don't remember the last number.
If you have a cool whatever it is.
$15, probably $20 million or so, you know.
I could mint that in my backyard next week, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be a little bit rough, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless they wanted to sell it in little pieces, right?
Right.
That'd be nice.
Right.
I did hear they were going to give some to the college, though, or they were hoping
to.
The college was hoping to get some. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, when you look at the past 25 to 30 years, the growth of Brookings, it's not like we've had explosive growth. We've never grown a lot of the plans that. Master plans and things that cities make, a lot of times they're based off of a 3% growth rate. We've never had that kind of growth. You know, you average like a point, maybe 2 points a year. So,
really,
yeah, it's not. We haven't grown as much as what you would think when you go around town. And see, it feels like
we've grown,
right?
Yeah,
and so you know, we you throw in that visitor aspect, that tourism aspect, and that's what you know really attributes to a lot of that. It's interesting, you know, we have an aged population, and that's who most of the people moving here are, you know, so you just practically kind of have like a, you know, like a recycle factor. I mean,
love being called that.
I think
I'm a recycle factor. I love it. No, but it's true.
Right.
It's true.
Right. And so I would imagine that has kept our overall growth rate, you know, from, being higher. It'd be one thing if people are moving here and they have, you know, 60 years or so to live, but...
Right. No, it has been a retirement community for a long time, and the thing about retirement people is that they are of the age to be able to retire.
Right.
And part of why they don't stay is because of the medical or, you know, whatever those specific things are that just make it hard, you know, to live in a place like this that is so remote.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what makes it beautiful. It's also what makes it a challenge for.
Yep. Yep. I've known a lot of folks that have moved here only to have to move away a few years later, you know, because one of them got cancer or some medical need that they can't get here.
We bought the house from a couple that had moved up from Southern California, Camarillo area, I think. And they had been here, I don't think, more than 3 years. And the wife just couldn't take the rain.
Really?
She couldn't take it. So they had done beautiful things with the house. They had put all new appliances in. I mean, they had just really done a nice job. And they had to move. They were going to go back to Southern California. And, you know, my husband and I were lucky enough to be able to get in there and get that property. But yeah, they didn't last long. And when I look around my neighborhood, I would say 90% of the people who were here when I moved in are gone.
Really? Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. It's strange.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just a strange.
Yeah.
So it's just a strange kind of thing. Yeah.
That's where we're at. I definitely believe we've kind of been discovered, you know, more. And the effect that has on visitors and the tourism. And you know, I might bellyache about it personally, but the fact, I mean, that tourism industry here provides a great deal for a great number of people.
That's right.
You know, a lot of livelihoods are dependent, actually dependent on that tourism dollar. So
yep. Yeah, I don't feel bad about having them come here at all.
No,
I mean, I'm happy to see them. They don't drive very well. I'm just saying, right? and there are other, you know, slight problems, but yeah, I'm glad that they're here. They add something to the town.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not just money, but, you know,
they create a buzz, you know. It's kind of a buzz.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's great. They're new people. They've got new ideas. I mean, it's, you know, and I remember being one of those, you know, because we visited before we moved here. And I remember going, oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I figured that one out pretty quick. I mean, years mm-hmm. ago when we were looking at, you know, big like rate increases to pay the bills around here, that it'd be a lot easier if we just had a few more people to kind of like, you know, spread it around. Right. So I really wanted to see city staff and the whole vibe at the city just to really be pushing to get some homes built. And I realized that the people I was hoping would move here are the people that have been visiting here for, you know, 20 years. And so that's the new resident is most likely the tourist, the fishing tourist, or, you know.
Yep.
One of those. One of those. Yep. So I'll put up with them.
Exactly.
I'll put up with them.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I chat with them and have met some pretty cool people and can't blame. I mean, could you really blame somebody for wanting to come here or wanting to move here? It's a great place.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I mean, I'm constantly kind of pinching myself saying, you know, this is my backyard. The Pacific Ocean is my backyard. That cliff is my backyard. I mean, it's like, wow, funny. Where else could you? Yeah. And I've been a lot of places and, you know, I can't even imagine living somewhere else. But, you know, the one thing that kind of concerns me, though, is that the price of homes is like skyrocketing,
mm-hmm.
In part because there's only limited space, right? So, you know, but we're running out of affordable housing. We have run out of affordable housing. And that doesn't seem like if that's part of the plan, that's not a good part of the plan.
Right.
So what are we thinking? What are we envisioning? Or is there any thinking about that?
So the lack thereof is definitely not part of a plan. For affordable housing, we're actually like from a past study, 450, 500 affordable housing units behind from the people that we have right here in need of affordable housing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And so, you know, that's affordable housing, like subsidized affordable housing. When you get into workforce housing, there's just a shortage of that. And by workforce housing, I just mean, you know, entry level homes. Because most of what's being built here and most of what, you know, the land being developed and the homes being built on them and who they're being sold to are, retirees, you know?
Yep.
And naturally.
Who've got a nest egg.
Right.
They've
well,
got a nest egg.
I mean, naturally, if I had a piece of vacant ground, I wouldn't necessarily put a single wide trailer on it and sell it. You know, I'd want to get whatever I can. But that's what we're seeing happening. For Brookings and what we plan for and plan to do about it, I realize, and I think most of the city council realizes, that we're not in a position, definitely can't do anything about it just unilaterally. We can't ensure it. We can't be the driver behind it.
I was hoping that I was going to see the five of you out there with pick and shovel, you know,
yeah,
building the homes, right?
A few of us could. That's not going to happen. Well, I mean, it's not necessarily the craziest thing in the world, and there are cities that actually take part in, you know, housing projects, I hope to in the future take part in some housing projects, you know, taking part and having a part in. So that's what we do in a general sense, is just try to incentivize. You know, that's really what we can do, and incentivize building affordable and workforce housing.
But there's no way that you can actually put any kind of limitations in place that would say,
no,
you know, 10% of the houses built in this next year have to be blah blah blah.
Not on a big grand scheme like that. You know, if there a large development, you would have more room there, you know, legally, mm-hmm, to try to ensure a variety of housing there. But just overall, no. And truly, even if the city could legally do that, I seriously doubt that that's something you would see. Even though the problems are recognized, but it's a real big step to take to tell you, Candace, what you can do with that undeveloped piece of land that is your nest egg. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's valuable to you, and you want, mm-hmm, you want your nest egg to grow as big as it can, and to be a big, mm-hmm, old stinking omelet when you pop that puppy open. Right.
Right.
So,
right,
you know, there's that aspect of it, and trying to control, what is yours, mm-hmm, but legally, I don't know of a mechanism. You can't just, like, out of every 10 building permits you give out, just make one of them, you know, it has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. Right. Oops. Yeah. You got the short straw.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. Sorry. Yeah. It's oceanfront. Yeah. Too bad. Yeah.
Too bad.
Too bad. Yeah.
But it does seem like, you know, we have to be mindful of the fact that we've got a lot of, workforce that is not making good money, right? I mean, we've got the mill and, you know, and I assume they're making decent money, and the prison probably makes decent money. But, you know, when you look at all of the small shops that are here, the right, restaurants that are here, I mean, you know, for a fact, I mean, even Freddy's, you know, these people are not making a lot of money.
Right.
So for them to literally not be able to afford to live in the town in which they work is, and I understand that, you know, like, people can't live in New York City, and yeah, I understand all that, but we're not New York City, right? We're a little,
right,
coastal town.
Right.
So it just doesn't seem quite right, you know, to, like, kick all you guys that don't have a home, don't have a house that you own,
mm-hmm,
kick you guys down the road to Smith River, you know, go rent a, yeah, place in Smith River.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's,
yeah,
like, really?
Yeah. The, I mean, overall, the wages surely haven't kept up with the price of homes.
And, no way.
You know, as far as the largest employer of a livable wage, you're right, would be the mill. The prison actually would be on the higher end around here for sure, the amount of money they make. But, you know, yeah, there's a whole bunch of us here working Fred Meyer, working at restaurants, working construction, work, you know, just kind of blue collar working folks.
just making
and
it
yeah,
by.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah. The cost of living. But I, you know, we're all still here. Those of us that are here are still here. And and I'm still here because I love it, even if so far it has been worth, you know, living here and being poor than living someplace else and having a nice house.
Well, there really is nothing, to me anyway, I would rather not have a lot of money and be able to look out my window and see those seagulls. I mean, there's just, or go for that walk along Cape Farello or something. I mean, it's just, you know, be able to take my dog and walk down the street and end up on the beach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And it's more than that. The people here and the culture here, I mean, I know multiple times a week, we get into conversations about, you know, all of the different issues, you know?
yes.
But I mean, I spend every day, all day out in this community. And I mean, the vast majority of people here and the vast majority of people moving here are just, are good folks that I'm perfectly happy having in my community. And being able to live here and not be fearful of, you know, my kids' safety all the time, and out in a restaurant and actually being comfortable with your kids standing up and walking across the restaurant and chatting with somebody. And, you know, or we were talking about summer concerts last week, and that's something here that I love that isn't geography, you know, it's not the landscape of the area.
Right.
Yeah. It's a special place.
And I think it's very interesting because if somebody doesn't know your political bent, right? And because now that has made a difference in the last few years. But if they don't know what your political bent is, everybody is really, really nice. Now, if they happen to discover that you're on the left and they're on the right, it can get a little dicey.
Yeah.
But, you know, generally speaking, if you're just going in kind of a level playing field, you don't know each other, you know, you don't know each other's stories and everything, people are very, very nice.
Right.
Very nice.
Right.
And they would give you the shirt off their back.
Oh, absolutely.
Most of the people here would do that.
Absolutely. The political part, you know, that's everywhere. And definitely every, you know, that works. That works both ways, sideways, up and down. But like you said, the vast majority of people here, they are either from here, and good and decent people, or they moved here and chose this place because they recognized it for what it is, and so they came here with that in mind.
I remember the first time that I was in Fred Meyer, and after we had moved here, and I thought it was just amazing that the clerk was talking to me, right? I mean, she said, "How are you doing today?"
Right.
And I thought, "How are you doing today? You're talking to me." You know? And it's like, because and I came from the Bay Area, which is not New York City,
right?
I mean, it's, you know, it's grown up and all that stuff, but you didn't have grocery clerks talking to you in the grocery store.
Right.
You know, your cashier did not ask you how you were doing. She or he merely, you know, got the items and rang them up, and there was not a lot of verbiage, right?
Oh yeah.
and so I was charmed that, you know, here I am standing talking to another human being, right, who happens to be checking out my groceries.
Yeah.
And then I went back home, which is Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because I would go back, you know, for Christmas, and I'd go into the grocery store to pick something up for my mom, and I'd go, "Hi, how are you?" And it'd be like, right? The look that I would get is like, oh my goodness, she's probably a serial killer, right?
You're on drugs, young lady? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, okay, now, yeah, that's why I love Brookings.
Oh, yeah.
It's because everybody talks to each other.
Yeah.
You know, you pass each other on the sidewalk. You say, hi, how you doing today?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's...
Yeah. It's a lovely pace. And that's why we'll continue to grow, you know, at a right. fairly reasonable pace. We can't grow that fast. So it'll be all right.
It's going to be okay. Yeah. How? I don't know. It's a miracle, right? I don't know. But we do have to pay attention to affordable housing. I mean, at some point that has to kind of get elevated in the conversation, because I don't want to see our workers having to live somewhere else because they can't afford to live in the town that they love and work in. And we're maybe some of them were born in, you know? I mean, that just...
Right.
It doesn't feel right to me, you know? It just doesn't feel right.
Well, and people don't commute too far for minimum wage. So, no, you know, the answer is not that it'll be okay, we can all just live out of town. I mean, that doesn't, you know, that doesn't necessarily work. Mm-mm. So I know it's, you know, you mentioned the conversation. So practically computing that in my mind. I know that it's definitely recognized as a bigger issue today than it was 10 years ago, but even 10 years ago, it was recognized. And I'm hopeful because things do come up. The public usually doesn't hear about it until it's all wrapped up and over, and like we can actually announce, you know. But
yeah,
but opportunities do come up for the city, you know, to play a more active role, and nothing like maybe nothing ground shaking or game changing, but just something, you know, whatever it is that we can do. Oh, 5 minutes ago, we were laughing and talking. I laughed about, I hope it turns out right.
Yeah.
And the growth and everything. I mean, that's tongue in cheek, right? We do plan and know our infrastructure capabilities and big picture how much growth we can have. And so a huge part of that, obviously, is water, right?
Yes.
Well, the city of Brookings right now today has certificated water rights to cover us for doubling our water usage. So,
wow.
So I mean, look down the road. We've got 50 years of growth easily with the water that we have right now.
Now, because I'm not even sure how we'd increase by double, right? I mean, like
it seems
we don't have enough land.
Right.
I mean, right. You know, yeah.
Now things will continue to change. I mean, obviously, mm-hmm. the trend has been and will continue that water, you know, the regulation just gets heavier and heavier. And the city, we're regulated for water use just like everyone else. And so the water rights that we do have, I mean, who's to say in the future what could happen to the Chetco River flows, normal flows, and
right.
things can change. Right. But the way it is right now, the big infrastructure, the big ticket items that we need to see growth, we have. And in some, you know, both water rights and the wastewater treatment plant, they're bought and paid for. And, you know, all of us already here kind of already bought and paid for them.
And the wastewater treatment plant was definitely overbuilt, right? I mean, that was...
Built big, yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Meant to be able to handle...
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah, and obviously any street project or really any infrastructure project that's done, it's not done for today and today only. It's done for future growth. Mm-hmm. The wastewater treatment plant, though, that's the big ticket item, and well overbuilt, and we could take a lot more hookups, and it'd keep our bills low. You know, because it just spreads that jar of peanut butter thinner, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I did a film project for the wastewater, for the city, actually. And we did the wastewater treatment plant, walked through it and everything. And it's massive.
Yeah. It's big.
Massive. Yeah. It goes on forever. It's like, I know. Whoa. Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And you go, and yeah. if you ever think, nor I realize normal people don't do this when they go to other cities, but if you go to another city of like similar size and you see their wastewater treatment plant, you're like, wait a minute, like where is it now? I mean, this is like, this looks like maybe a little retention pond. Do you guys have koi in this thing? You know?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that there were so many aspects to it, you know, the kind of condenser thing.
Oh, yeah.
It was amazing. Yeah. It was fascascinating, actually.
Yeah.
It really was. And it's a huge project.
It is.
Just huge.
In the long run, we were lucky. You know, those are pretty stinking expensive to build now. And we were able to build our nice big one a while ago. So
that's great.
Yeah.
So if people wanted to get involved in some way, shape, or form with the whole planning of the city, and I'm assuming that there's a committee for that.
There's the planning commission. The planning commission is, you know, who takes land use applications and anything that needs to, you know, go through that type of process.
And does the city plan actually get updated? Like, at all?
Yeah, different. So there's no. You're talking about probably half a dozen to 10 plans, separate plans for the city of Brookings, right? And they're always, most of them have a 10 year lifespan, and you end up redoing them.
All right. So if anybody's out there and just itching to get into some planning stuff, they should contact the city and find out if there's any openings on the planning commission.
Yeah, planning commission. And you gotta keep your eye open for you know, those years that come up where all of a sudden, okay, we're looking at the downtown master plan again, you know. Mm-hmm. And
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you see that green sign up there? Yeah, so that means we're out of time again. So Jake, I think we're going to let you go nurse your cold for the night.
Did you hear that last one? I was
yes.
Trying to get like far away.
No, I'm afraid you're sick, buddy. You're going to go take some NyQuil, right? And just go to bed. But thanks for another great conversation
because it's
very, very informative. And thank you for listening. Spring feels like it has truly sprung. Thank goodness. And we're all itching to get out and play. So just remember to still be cautious around folks who are not in your immediate family if you're not fully vaccinated. Better to be careful than to get sick, right? Or infect others. So we're at extreme risk. We need to bring those numbers down. And one way to do it is to maintain that 6-foot social distancing thing and wear your mask. So please do that for the sake of our businesses. So for Building Bridges, this is Brookings Mayor Jake Pieper and Candace Michelle, and we will see you next week. Bye-bye.